Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk Distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. There's so much information available today. Where do you begin? Steve and Justin continue working to put together a library of info sheets. Easy reads, straight to the point, plain talk. And you can have instant access to all of these. Just sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider. There's never any charge. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. I appreciate you being here for what's today's date? The 23rd, August 23rd edition of InvestTalk. 23rd, I can't believe how fast this month is going. It just kind of zips by. Anyways, what's the difference between the average investor and the one who succeeds, has a better than average batting average when it comes to managing their investment? It's not skill and intelligence. We have to say it's smarts and discipline. You don't have to be super smart. You don't have to be, you don't have to have just tremendous skills. But you do have to have discipline. And you can't be stupid. You got to be smart about it. So you don't have, I always try to point out, it doesn't take a genius. It takes time, effort, and, you know, a willing to understand how it works. But you don't have to be, you know, have a high IQ. You don't. You have to have an interest. You got to be smart. You can't be stupid. But discipline is just as important as anything else. Discipline. So succeeding in investing is, you know, understanding the basics, still understanding that there may be exceptions, and then applying them. All the while, understand that you're never going to be 100% right. You're going to make mistakes. And there's an art to it as well as a skill. It's not just, you know, I'll buy the best stocks and that's it. I wish that was true, because then you could just buy them and just forget it. It's not that way. For an example, fundamentally strong stocks are not hard to find. These companies will always have superior earnings, a solid balance sheet, a stable area of products and services, always. What becomes difficult is knowing when to buy them, when to sell them, if you sell them at all. And that's difficult. That's where the discipline comes in. That's where the smarts come in. Now, you know what we like. We mentioned before, I like a 17% or higher return on equity. I like a low or no debt and good growth to the sales, you know, a good relationship there. And there's lots of other numbers to analyze. We like expanding margins instead of shrinking margin, profit margins I'm talking about. So there's all kinds of things to look at. Debt to equity ratios, price to sales ratios, of course, the standard PE ratios. It's a constant battle, but that's not hard finding good, solid companies. It's knowing when to buy them and when to sell them. That gets difficult. And I'm not talking about trying to time the market. I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, okay, it looks like the fundamentals are deteriorating and maybe it's time for me to exit this stock. It looks like the economy is going into a recession and maybe I should cut my exposure to the stock market. Stuff like that. That's what's important. It'll never be easy, everybody. It's never going to be easy. But you can do it. You really can. So what's your money issue today? You can check in right now. Or anytime you want, really. Any money question. 888-99-CHART is our number. We'll try to answer your question on the next InvestTalk.
Hey, guys. This is Jason calling with a question about fees on mutual funds as well as share classes. I'm having a hard time looking through my own portfolio and understanding all the different fees and how to calculate what fees are what. And then also all the various share classes that it looks like A shares, C shares, institutional shares. What the heck does all that mean, and how does it relate to me as I look to invest in mutual funds? Hey, I appreciate your knowledge and look forward to your answers. Thank you.
Okay, basically, when you're talking about types of shares of mutual funds, and you're saying there's A shares, B shares, C shares, D shares, H shares, whatever, that letter designates a commission being paid to whoever sold you the mutual fund. A shares usually means an upfront percentage of maybe 5%, that's the normal, 5% to the person who sold you the shares. Okay, B shares is 1% a year for 5 years, generally. So there are different ways to charge you money. Then many times mutual funds don't have A shares. We call those no load. But they may have what's called 12B1 fees. 12B as in boy, dash one fees. And this is another way of you paying a commission to the person who sold it to you, and those last every year, forever. Then the cost of the mutual fund to run the mutual fund is the fees that the mutual fund charges, okay? Not the commissions you're paying to somebody to sell you the mutual fund. So you have that cost as well. ETFs also have costs, usually less than mutual funds, but not always. ETFs don't have commissions other than a trading fee when you buy it. Usually a mutual fund does not have a trading fee. There's a lot to know, isn't there? This is what I can tell you. Do not buy what we call loaded funds. Those are the ones that have A shares, B shares, C shares. Don't buy them. There's no need to. There's no reason to buy them. You can find just as good no-load funds as loaded funds. Now you start then comparing the costs of the funds. Now I'll warn you, certain kinds of funds cost more than other kinds. For instance, if you're dealing with an emerging market mutual fund, that's going to cost more than an S&P index fund, because it's going to be a lot more work for the fund to manage the money. Anyways, so let's also try to answer a question via our text messaging, which seems to be pretty popular. Hi, Steve and Justin. My name is Melissa, and I'm a podcast listener from Arizona. I was wondering what your thoughts were on Skechers, SKX. They had some bad earnings and have had a big drop, but they are still growing a lot, and based on the forward earnings, it seems pretty cheap. What are your thoughts? Thanks so much for the show. SKX is Skechers, everybody. And, of course, I think everybody knows what they are. They're the tennis shoe maker. Markets men's, women's, and children's casual dresses and athletic footwear and department and specialty stores. Okay, so they had, let me pull up a chart here. Let me get that up as well. SKX. I typed this all into software. And it just takes a few minutes to type it into the various software. So then I got to look at it before I can answer the question. Okay, so fundamentally, Skechers is going to grow 11% earnings this year and then another 17% earnings next year. They've had a big disappointment recently in their earnings in July. But they're still growing, as she says. They're growing. Sales grew only 10% in the most recent quarter. Before that, the quarters were growing over 20% a quarter. So that, of course, hit the stock. It got as high as 50 and then popped down to the mid-20s, and right now it's at $25.18. And so is that a good price? They're going to make $2.14 next year. And if it's a $25 stock, you know that it's about 11 PE, and the five-year range is 12 to 99, so she is correct, or he, not sure, in that the stock is fairly undervalued. Return on equity is 21%, very strong. Doesn't pay a dividend. Management owns 13%. Mutual funds have been net sellers for the last year, though, from 558 mutual funds to only 503 mutual funds now, or at least in the most recent quarter. So, but the stock, it looks pretty good at this price. If you're going to want to buy Skechers, this is the price you'd want to buy it at. You also have an out. If it drops below the most recent low, you get out. Okay, that's it. You just get out. You don't worry about it if it breaks below the recent low, which is about another dollar, $2 down. Skechers, SKX. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. It's the first step toward becoming an investor, and it's important to thoroughly evaluate your options in order to find the best one for you. And I'm talking about setting up a brokerage account the right way. That's going to be one of our main talking points today. Justin did get to it yesterday, but hopefully I'll be able to get to it. Who would win a global currency war? Remember, we're kind of in one. Who's going to win? And if it heated up and got hot, who would win it? Talk about that. Market highs and government bonds record low yields. Market, stock market highs with government bonds at record low yields. Will this last? Is that unusual? What? Where would you go if this starts to unravel? What would you invest in? Electric cars are definitely the future. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Did you see the announcements about Tesla came out with today? I just want to discuss that. And I want to look at the S&P valuation. And I'm going to concentrate on the different kinds of PE ratios. What they are currently, what their average has been, and what they're over undervalued according to historical norms. I think it would be very eye-opening if we do that. Okay, so those are what we're going to discuss today. Did you see the market? I think you might have saw the market. It was up bigger during the day than it ended up at the end of the day. For instance, the S&P ended up 4 points, but it was over double that during the day. And the same thing was true for the Dow, which is up 17 points when it was up, I don't know, 70 points during the day. Every one of the indexes, and what's important here that kind of seems important to me, they all ended up at the low of the day. The NASDAQ was up 15, but still the low of the day. And that always concerns me because that means toward the end of the day, people were not happy. And during the day, they started off happy, but just kind of fell off. Why? Nothing. There was no great news out. One of the things that's bothering me also is something that's technical, is that the MACDs, the various lengths of the MACDs, are for a month now they've been pointing down, and the market's gone up. I don't like it when they're a divergence. A reminder about our helpful tool that can establish your own personal risk tolerance number. Then you can check to see your if you're in tune with your current retirement portfolio. Same, your risk of the portfolio to the risk that you want. It's a free risk analysis tool on investtalk.com. It's just a few questions, about a few questions you should take a look at. It's pretty easy. Just go to investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab.
Hi, was calling in to get your opinion on Pfizer, symbol PFE. Would this be a good time to get in, and what you think the outlook is for the stock? Great show that you have. I'll be listening.
Okay, Pfizer Inc., PFE, it develops prescription drugs. I'm sure you know that. Control all kinds of metabolic diseases, cardiovascular diseases. They're going to make $2.46 this year. That's up 12% from last year. Next year, another up 8% to $2.65, and the stock is a $35 stock. So the price is not super expensive. The yield is only 3.4%. Pfizer has had much better yields in the past than that, but that's what the current yield is. It is a big company, $212 billion company, and growing its sales by about 10-12%. So those are good things about Pfizer. Good, solid company. And you want to buy it when it's cheap. That's what you want to do. It'll be cheap when it hits the high 20s. Right now it's the mid-30s. I think I'd wait. But it's a good, solid company to have in your portfolio. It's a good core holding. Core holding, Pfizer. InvestTalk is better when you get involved. Not just me, but you. Join in the discussion. 888-99-CHART is our listener line. And it's always open.
What is a derivative? Is it a financial asset, index, or security? We'll have the answer coming up on InvestTalk.
Okay, so we gave you a quick quiz. What is a derivative? What is a derivative? Simply, it's not complex, people. It's a contract. It's a contract between two or more parties whose value The value of that contract is based on an agreed upon underlying financial asset. Okay, I'm going to give you an example of one of the most common derivatives. And it's regarding farmers. Okay, what does a farmer do? The farmer can, let's say you're a farmer and you grow wheat, and then you have a miller who mills the wheat. Okay, you can come get into a contract to set a price for the farmer and set a price for the miller. Now, so they agree on a price before the farmer plants the seeds. That's a derivative. Because it's a contract, agreed on a price of a product now, but that price may be higher or lower in the future when he actually does harvest the wheat. A derivative. A contract between two or more people whose value is based on the underlying financial asset or index or security or commodity, currency, interest rates, anything. Okay? Let's go to Ben in San Jose. How you doing, Ben?
Thank you very much. How about you, Steve?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
I enjoy your show very much. I have a question regarding advanced micro device, semiconductor. And evidently, they're coming up with a new product. The stock went up from $1.61 to $1 all the way to $8. I was wondering if it's a good entry level.
No, it's not a good entry level at this high price, because even though the reason why it's risen is because you gave the reason why it's going up, okay? So everybody has been betting this thing up since February, which you said, and I agree, it was below $2 a share, and now it's $7.67 a share. So what, that 300-400% return in a few months? Way too expensive at this point. It's going to lose money this year, lost money last year. It's going to lose money next year, just less money. So you got to wait for a big pullback, Ben. And when you get that pullback and you want to speculate, then you go into it. But not you don't want to chase this performance as it keeps rising. And, yeah, it could still keep going up. But my experience tells me it's going to chop down pretty heavily at some point, and that's when you should be a buyer, not now. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate the call. It's a tough call because it keeps marching up because it's going to lose less money. It lost 54 cents last year a share, 21 cents this year, and 5 cents next year. So it's moving in the right direction. But that movement is already built into the price, and that price has been very sharp movement up. Too sharp. It's as simple as that. Too sharp over any period of time. You need more. It's just too expensive at this point. You know me, I like to buy growth and value. I don't like to overpay for things. I really don't like to do it. Just my... Anyways, 5-point checkup, what you should do if you want to open an account, a brokerage account, what you should be looking at, okay? Number one, you know what a brokerage account is, right? You do know what a brokerage account is. It means open up an account to trade stocks. Okay, number one, the first step is decide what type of account you need. An IRA, an individual, a joint account. What kind of account do you need, okay? Next, compare online brokers, several online discount brokers. Compare and see which one beats. Maybe you need a really good website because you're novice and need help. Well, some online brokers give you absolutely no help and some give you more help, but then it's going to cost more too. The trading fees are higher. So look at the commissions and fees. But if you need a lot of support, you want to pay those higher commissions fees because that's how they get paid. Got to look at the minimum deposits. See if they give you any free trades. Sometimes some brokers give you like a free 20 trades or 100 trades or something. You know, and think about the convenience. Once you've decided that, you got to fill out the paperwork. And trust me, there's a lot of paperwork. It's not terribly difficult. It's just a lot of it. And it's not the broker's fault. It's not my fault. It's the SEC's fault. They want all that information. Then you fund the account. You can put money in it. You can transfer some other account into it, whatever you want into it. And then you start doing your homework. You don't just go ahead and start buying stocks. You got to do your homework first. Those are things. Those are the process. That's the process that you need to take to do this. It's not rocket science, but it is work. You got to think about it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time to talk about whatever's on your mind, not what's on my mind, because, you know, I could talk ad nauseum and you would be bored to death. What do you want to talk about? Remember, I want to talk about the market, stock market highs versus the bond market's low yields, record low yields. Is that normal? I want to talk about electric cars. I want to talk the S&P valuations, specifically the different kinds of PE ratios and relate them to historical norms. What are they? And is there a currency war? If there is a currency war, who's going to win? Who's winning? Who's going to win? We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now.
Our podcast will continue next. You've heard Steve and Justin talk about the merits of REITs. InvestTalk insiders have instant access to a brief list of real estate investment trusts that could be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. It's all free, and you can sign up easily on investtalk.com. With this Tuesday, August 23rd, InvestTalk. An extended flood of money into these investments raises the risk that they're overvalued. Are those safe haven assets safe anymore? That's next time. But Steve's ready to answer any money question right now. 888-99-CHART, what's your talking point?
Hey, Steve and Justin, this is Matt from Utah. I have a question for you, and I'm a podcast listener. My question is, at my work 401k, we have some fairly limited options through Fidelity with mostly managed funds, but in a month or so, we will be moving over, since I asked, to a lot more index funds and a lot better options with lower expense ratios, and I want to change my portfolio to use all of those. My question for you is, do I need to look at the market and what it's doing, prices and whatnot, before I rebalance that portfolio, or should I just do it and bite the bullet as soon as those funds are available? Thanks for all you guys do. Love your show. Bye-bye.
Well, if it was me, I wouldn't rebalance it all at one time. It depends on the funds that you're in, but if in a perfect world, we'd wait for you get out of your funds now, wait for a pullback, and then put them back all in the index funds. In a perfect world, that's what you would do. You buy the index funds when the stock market has corrected. But if you wait till the correction happens, that means your funds you're in now will go down, and now you're just moving into the index fund, and you didn't get ahead. But at the same time, no one knows when that correction is going to happen. I have no idea. I don't have a crystal ball. I can tell you what usually happens. We usually get a correction starting in the summer, and here we are coming to the end of the summer. September 21st, is that the last day of summer? And we still haven't seen a correction start yet. I do think it's going to, but I can't tell you. So ideally, you get out now, sit in cash, wait for the correction, get into index funds. But what if you're sitting in cash for a year and the market continues to march up? Could do that. I think the odds are small that it'd do that, but it could do that. So, the dollar cost average is a pretty good way to do it. Get out of one and get into the other over a period of time. It's a pretty good way to do it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Market highs and government bonds record low yields. This will come to an end. This always does whenever it happens. The market's at highs, and the bond yields are record lows, unsustainable, unseen before record lows. Can it go lower? Of course, the government, you know, wants to try to do that. But it's just hard to believe. Remember, the government at the same time wants inflation. So it's pushing its currencies down so that cost of goods being imported will go up and your costs will go down when you export. Governments will be pushing to get inflation. At the same time they're pushing to get inflation, they're making you pay money, negative interest rates, to borrow, for you to give them your money for their bonds. They're making you pay for that. They're guaranteeing, this is what's hard to believe, they're guaranteeing that you're going to lose money. They're guaranteeing it. It's not a possibility. It's a certainty that you're going to lose money. A certainty. So, how's that sustainable in any free economic system? How's that sustainable? At the same time, we have market highs, stock market highs. So interest rates can't stay this low. You're going to see a lot of smart people writing about this, that this is just not sustainable. It can't stay this way. How long can it be this way? It's been a lot longer than anybody ever thought. But it's not realistic to sustain it. Where can you hide? Where can you go? Where's a place to hide? Remember, they're trying to lower their currency. They're trying to get inflation. What asset class works good when inflation eventually rises and the currencies are going down and staying low? And it'd be precious metals. I'm not telling you to go out and buy precious metals. I'm just telling you that in this kind of environment, that's what would normally work. But remember, we have a government that interferes with all the market forces. So it's hard to know. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I had two emails on potash. We had talked about potash a few days ago. So I wanted to make sure that I bring up some information. One of the emails brought up, Philip brought up to me. You know, currently the dividend yield is 6%. Well, that's not going to be sustainable. It's not. And they've already announced that the dividend yield is going to be cut. So the dividend yield is going to be cut. So don't buy it because you think it's going to pay 6%. Remember, we own potash in some of our managed stock accounts. And the other email was talking about, well, it doesn't look very valuable. You know, we are value investors plus growth, and it doesn't look very cheap. This is the other email that I got about from Ben. And potash is correct, manufactured fertilizer, we all know that. They're going to make 53 cents this year, then 73 cents next year after making $1.52 last year. Sales have been shrinking. And this is a stock that we are taking a risk on because it doesn't meet the normal numbers that we like. Doesn't. It's a $14 billion company. That number is good because it's big and sustainable. And the stock got beat up. We're looking at a chart of this stock, and we're looking at its history. And what happens, we have a chart that has been basing now ever since, what, April? Basing meaning going sideways, up and down in a range, between 1550 and 1775 or so. When something like that happens, and it does it over and over and over again, that tells you that the price is probably hit a bottom, and the easiest direction for it to go now would be up. And so that's what we're basing one of the reasons why I buy. Also, if it breaks the lows, we have an easy place to get out. And we like the commodity space, this commodity space right now. So we went and tried to find the best stock out there that we can find that meets some of our criteria, and we like the chart a lot. So we're taking a little bit risk on this. Don't think it's our normal buy. It's not. It is not. But, you know, we could have said that about gold miners last year. We bought them. And they did nothing but go up this year very fast. So, you know, it's, and investing is not always just about the numbers. Numbers are extremely important. Fundamentals are crucial. And I do think that these numbers will, these fundamental numbers will change, and they are changing. But are they changing fast enough? We'll see. We'll see. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. Let's answer a question now that came in before today's program.
Hi, Stephen, Justin. This is Joe from New Jersey, a longtime fan of the show and a longtime podcast listener. I actually have a question concerning two high-yield bond funds. One is PHK and the other is RCS. So one is PIMCO High Income. The other is PIMCO Strategic High Income. Both are offering really high yields. They seem to have consistently paid out shareholders, and the company itself, I know, has a really good reputation. Would these be long-term buy and holds for dividend yield? Because I know they're both trading at premiums to net asset value. I really appreciate any evaluation on that and look forward to hearing the answer on the show. Thanks. Bye, guys.
Okay, well, think about it. PIMCO High Income Fund pays about 12.5%. Closed-end fund investing in U.S. corporate debt obligations and income-producing securities for high current income. High yield means junk. Okay. Yes, they're going to be paying these pretty high yield. They're going to be paying the high the yields, and yes, the yields are actually not high enough. Junk bonds do great coming out of recessions and in an economy that is expanding. They do terrible when the economy starts to fall back into recession or interest rates start to rise. They start to have pressure. I would not buy these things. And no, they are not for long-term investors. No, they're not. These are for investors who want to take risks. You want to take a risk? Go ahead and try the PIMCO High Yield Closed-End Fund. Remember, a closed-end fund can sell at a discount or a premium to its underlying assets. So you got to find out if it's selling at a discount or a premium and how much. But at this stage of the game, after being up so long, I would be very, very skeptical about getting into this. Just think about it. 2015, it was selling for, you know, $12, $13 a share. Now it's $9.95. But it also got as low as $6. $6 a share in a year ago. Now it's $9.95. Okay, that's a 50% move up. It can have a 50% move down just as easily. High yield equals high risk. Try to remember that. And no, not generally for the long-term investor. No, not generally, no. I don't know exactly what people expect when they schedule a meeting with me, by the way. We do have meetings coming up next week in San Jose. I'm out of room at San Ramon, but San Jose. I still have a couple slots up. But I do, I know what usually needs to happen in these meetings. Things need to get cleared up. Now, this isn't true of everyone, but for many, you know, life presents unexpected changes and normal expected changes. And we talk about that. Job, retirement, job changes. You know, what do you do with your old 401ks? What, you know, I'm retiring. How much money do I need? Should I change my investment strategy because I'm now entering retirement? All those things need to be discussed. Do I need insurance still, life insurance? You know, I got a divorce, I got married, I got, you know, I'm having my first child, you know, I'm moving to a different state, you name it, things happen. So that's what we talk about in these. And then you got the old 401ks, and you have Roth IRA, regular IRA over here, different brokerage firms, and I try to simplify your life doing these things. It's very, you know, it's a 1 hour conversation about your financial life, basically that's what it is. And I have to know information about your regular life to give you proper answers in your financial life. So if you're in Northern California and want to meet with me in San Jose, August 31st, I do have a couple slots. To schedule your hour, I still have time. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
We watched the Olympics, we heard about Brazil's weaknesses, but are the investors returning? What are other unexpected opportunities out there? Talk to Steve about it. Call in now, 888-99-CHART, or send a note. Click on Contact Steve or Justin on investtalk.com.
Okay, let's go to Daniel in San Mateo. I want to talk about eBay. How you doing, Daniel?
Hi, Steve. Great. I'm listening on 1220 every day religiously, of course.
Thank you.
I took a half a position last week and just wanted to know what you thought about it long term and where I should put a stop, possibly.
Okay, this is on eBay, everybody. EBAY is a symbol. It's out of San Jose. It provides online marketplace and electronic payment services via eBay.com and other websites. They're making money, and they're growing their money. They made $1.83 in 2015, $1.89 this year, so only a nickel up. But tomorrow, next year, $2.09, so it's going to go up about 10% next year. Sales were falling, but now the last two quarters, they started to turn around, and you had a big spike up because of that. Maybe their bad news is behind them, and maybe they're going to, go forward. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if someone buys them, but that's a pretty, you got to spend $35 billion to buy them. It's a big company. It's not some small thing. And if you bought a half position, I would wait on, put it on the other half, Daniel. It's a good, solid company with some debt, but not tremendous debt. And the mutual funds have been selling a little bit over the last year, but management owns 7%, so they have a $35 billion company. So they have a lot of invested interests here. I think you wait for the market correction, which will bring this down with it, and then you buy your other half. That's what I think. But I do think they turned themselves around, Daniel.
All right. Do you think that correction could happen in a month or two? Or
I think we're going to get a start within the next couple of months, yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Steve, for your
thanks, Daniel. Thank you for the call. Of course, that's looking at my crystal ball, which is pretty cloudy at times. So don't think I have that clear of a picture. Electric cars. Did you hear Tesla? I think electric cars are the future. I really do. I think Tesla is going to be a huge auto company. I think that them buying the solar power company was not a smart thing. But I do think it's going to be one of the big four auto companies. You got Ford, GM, Chrysler, well, I guess not Chrysler anymore, is it? Anyways, they're coming out with a battery, a 100-kilowatt battery that will go 315 miles on a charge. And they also have the fastest vehicle, not just electric vehicle, fastest vehicle, going from 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds. Now, these are the kinds of advances will accelerate the switch over from gasoline cars to electric cars. I mean, 315 miles on a charge, You're gonna make that your everyday car. And think about all the, you think Tesla's not gonna have competitors? Toyota, we have a huge amount of electric cars coming out in the next few years. 888-99-CHART is our Intertime number. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART. Okay, let's go talk to Guy in Houston. How you doing, Guy?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks for the call.
Okay, I have a little bit of complicated question, so please bear with me.
Okay.
Let's say we have a company, it's a public company, its share is trading at $10, and there are millions of shares and a lot of people own it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, one person decides to pay $11 for that share.
Right.
For 400 shares. Now, in the eyes of everybody, the company value grew by millions and millions of dollars, whereas there was only one person who was paying 10% extra for that 100 shares.
Correct.
That doesn't make sense. If everybody started to sell, nobody will pay $11, maybe a little less. So how does this, doesn't make sense. It's like a flawed system.
Well, not really. It does make a lot of sense because someone valued that company at $11 a share, right? From 10 to 11. You say, well, it was only 100 shares.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next person that comes along is going to pay what? See, the next person, are they going to pay $10 or $11? Now, if they pay $10 and it goes right back down, the very next person, then the company value goes back down. So the value of a company is just a snapshot of any one moment. And it's just based on the current value of what someone would place on those shares. So you can't, what if someone comes and wants to pay $12 a share? Now it went up again. That's the fairest way to value the company is what the public will pay for a share of stock. So it's just one share, fine. But, you know, what other way would you suggest they value that company at? See, now for me, I can tell you what I think is a fair value, and you hear me talk about, Jiggy, this stock is too expensive. I wouldn't pay that much. But some people would. I just don't agree with them. So I go back to historic norms. What's the historic norm of a company that's selling so much product and growing or shrinking? And what is a normal amount, you know, over long periods of time? So that's why you hear me say it's overvalued or undervalued, because I'm not, it's whatever the current value is, what someone will pay today. But I may disagree with that one way or another. But that's the only way there is a way. The fairest value, that's the fairest way to do it that I know of. Otherwise, it's just arbitrary. Someone just picks a number. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Guy. Thanks, Guy. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's only a snapshot at that moment in time. That's it. That's the value of the company. Okay. Talk about valuation. What is the S&P valuation? Let's continue this conversation. The trailing PE of the S&P 500, trailing meaning the last 12 months earnings into the price of the stock. And that's 18.6 right now, currently. The average over length of time is 16. Not 18.6, but 16. So that means it's 16% overvalued. Trailing gap PE, that's general accounting principles. Remember, these are looking backwards. The trailing gap PE right now is 25. The average is 19, so that's 32% overvalued. Forward PE, which is what we all want to look at. Forward PE is the key. The forward PE is around 17 today, and the average is 15, so that's 12% overvalued. The scariest one is the Shiller PE. And Shiller PE looks at the last 10 years of earnings and averages them out. And that Shiller PE right now is at 26.2%. 26.2 is the PE. The average is 16.7. That's 57% overvalued. So just looking at the PEs in almost any way you want to look at it, the market is overvalued. And another thing that worries me a bit is the short interest. You know how the market has been so non-volatile in recent month or two? Very low volatility recently. The short interest, meaning the people who think the market's going to go down, is the lowest it's been in 12 months. So no one is worried about the market. Last week, I think we talked about it. No one is worried about the market. And that's when I start to worry, when no one else is. Our time is up. A reminder, I'll be in San Jose on August 31st. To schedule your hour with me, I do have a couple slots open. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And on behalf of Justin Klein and everyone in KPP, thank you for listening today. I hope we can do it again, meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.